and welcome to Logically Local, the show that highlights local issues and solutions to sustainability problems.
In this globalized world, we believe we need tailored local solutions for greater sustainability challenges, and Logically Local brings to you stories from people, organizations, and communities who are doing their bit to contribute.
We are your hosts, Trisanki Saikia.
And I'm Mayuri Phukan.
And today we are going to talk about sustainable development and SDGs with Supriya Khound.
Northeast India shows a promising capacity to develop the region sustainably. According to a report by Brundtland in 1987, sustainable development is the idea that human societies must live and meet their needs without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. With the climate crisis, which is looming over our head, and Northeast India, which already has a fragile ecosystem, it is very important that we take actions for development, but without harming the future of our future generation. In today's episode, we discuss some of these pertinent challenges and opportunities to achieve sustainable development in the region with Supriya.
Supriya Khound is currently working as a project coordinator, Green Recovery, with UNDP in India. She coordinates the socio-economic activities around green recovery as part of COVID response activities in India, and she also works on promotion and integration of the Sustainable Development Goals. Personally, she is also a sustainability enthusiast and has adopted several sustainable living practices in her own life, including recently becoming a certified permaculturist and natural builder. Welcome to the podcast, Supriya.
Thank you so much, Trisanki and Mayuri. It's really a pleasure to be part of this discussion today.
We are happy to have you here as well. So when 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development was launched in 2015, It brought about this aspects of inclusiveness and integrated sustainable development. So how do you see the relevance of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals and the associated targets?
Thank you so much, Mayuri. The SDGs are very, very important because they are framed around the future that we want. Now, the relevance of these goals is pertinent because it focuses on reducing inequality, bringing about inclusion, and ensuring sustainability across all planning and implementation processes. It is based on the idea that we need to have an equilibrium when we are doing any development activity, which is social, economic, and environmental paradigms have to be in balance. Just talking sustainability or development as separate entities is not going to work anymore. It has to be sustainable development together to achieve long-term prosperity. Why are these goals important? They provide frameworks where governments can cross-converge their activities, they can set their targets and create strong systems, where businesses can integrate sustainability into their ethics and plans, where youth can participate in the development paradigm and create pockets of changes and be conscious of the role that they play as a critical way for moving forward. Our economies are based on a consumption pattern, are designed to emulate an infinity of resources. Well, we are very much aware, like in the introduction you had stated, that resources are not infinite and are finite, and hence ensuring equal services to all and protecting people and planet are key to long-term prosperity.
Yeah, so you spoke about protecting people and planet, and the goals, the 17 goals itself, are also very cross-cutting. But in many ways, is there a gap in understanding the integrated nature of these goals?
Yeah, in many look at how the SDGs have been perceived or how they have been developed, it's important to understand how they have been developed. So although they are 17 very, if you look at it from the outside, they're very strategic, like strategic goals. But if you look deeper within it, they are very interconnected. So the entire process is also for designing the SDGs has been a very consultative process where lot of agencies, organizations, partners have come together to take it forward. In terms of understanding the SDGs, our systems in general are sometimes created to work in silos. And this is what SDGs does, is breaking down those barriers to be able to go forward in a more integrated approach. And this is why it is important, and this is why the governments around the world are actually using it as a tool for transforming their current practices, for looking at sustainability as an integrated approach.
So as Mayuri mentioned, that these SDGs are cross-cutting and they cover a very wide range of socioeconomic factors and environmental goals, right? But do you have any personal favorite SDGs which you think is, for any reason, more relevant for you personally or to society as a whole?
For me, that's a really hard question to answer, actually, because again, like, they are so important, each one of them. Understanding the current situation, I feel goal 13 is definitely a high priority goal because it is something that is affecting us daily. We may not be able to see the effects of climate change in our daily lives, but the way, you know, crisis and disasters, etc. around the world are almost quadrupling the numbers that we see, the effects on our environment and ecosystem. I feel goal 13 is definitely an urgent need to action for mitigating any future risk to our planet. For me, personal favorites are, however, goal 5 on gender equality and goal 4 on quality education. So I feel this is also personal because I know how much, what a struggle it has been for women across the world. And in the past, my own family within, the last 2 to 3 generations to be able to access education, to be able to even vote, say, in the last 100 years, the kind of struggles that people across the spectrum of gender and women have had in the past. And these are something that we need to be able to go forward to empower everybody along the process and expand. When we talk about social economic growth, we need to expand spaces for everyone to have that say and have the participation to kind of go forward.
Yeah, and coming to the northeast region of India, since we are talked of as economically not that developed and our ecological condition is such that we are part of various biodiversity hotspots. We are largely dependent on various sectors such as agriculture and fisheries, and climate change does have a great impact on the region. Otherwise also, we are trying to achieve the development per se, as one talks of development, including urban development, economic development. So since this process is still a journey for Northeast India, how do you see sustainable development fitting in Northeast's current pace towards economic and social growth?
Yeah, I think, Mayuri, currently, as we speak, the entire world, per se, is facing a tremendous challenge in terms of tackling COVID-19. It's a global pandemic that has affected the biggest countries. And this has demonstrated on how fragile our current systems, institutions, and way of living is. And this has also kind of led people to a great extent to pause and reflect on what are the models of development that we want. So one emerging area that a lot of countries globally are talking about and which Northeast per se should align to is the space on green recovery, which is on not just looking at recovery in the economic sense, but again, it's as a holistic way of development towards greening our existing systems to rebuild our economies, which kind of deal with the dual global emergency of climate and biodiversity. So in Northeast per se, the impact of COVID-19 on livelihoods, reverse migration, are essential to consider when we are planning for future livelihoods and future of work. Because We know, like you just said, that there's a lot of dependency on agriculture, but there's also a lot of out-migration, right, from this area.
Yeah, right.
So we need to be able to understand what are the reasons for this out-migration. If you are saying that it is because we do not have enough local jobs, we do not have enough opportunities, so we need to be able to create those opportunities. Now, if we are saying we are creating those opportunities, we need to be able to align with our current, we need to be aligned with our natural resources to understand what are the natural resources we have, how can we sustain them over long periods of time, how can we use them sustainably while creating jobs, while enhancing, while protecting our soil, water, the entire ecosystem around our communities, because Northeast essentially is an area where we have a very, very close connect with our forests, with our land, with the animals. So there has always been that. But then like you mentioned earlier, that their shift towards development is always considered, infrastructure-led. But that greening of development, the sustainability elements of development are very critical at this juncture when people have this opportunity to reflect on what are the damaging effects of carbon emission on the entire brown economy processes. So in the current pace, Northeast, which is closely blended and dependent on environment, is well placed to keep sustainability and local economies as key to the entire planning and implementation process. But we need to be able to advocate for it. We need to be able to spread the awareness on it. And we need to be able to have those community level engagement and discussion and create opportunities at local level.
So Priyabha, you mentioned the green recovery and you also mentioned greening development. But one thing that we also have been hearing more about and people have been pointing towards is something known as greenwashing. Greenwashing policies by government, by corporates, by people. So how do we distinguish between greening development and greenwashing?
Okay, greenwashing is obviously something that a lot of larger corporates, etc., are using towards branding exercise. It's primarily a branding exercise towards enhancing sales. Now, greening the economy is a full life cycle approach wherein you look at the entire end-to-end process of whatever activity. So, instance, if you're looking at agriculture, you would be not just looking at the output. You're not just saying your produce is, say, organic. You will be starting from right from the preparation of your seeds, which is, local, indigenous, to your water sources, to your soil, up to the consumer. So it's the entire value chain. You are conscious. You are making choices which are, by green, I mean you are making choices which are obviously environmentally friendly. And that is the entire green value chain. And this can go across sectors. So a lot of conversations are happening around green transport, on green infrastructure, on green livelihoods. So these are very, very critical and very important to talk about. However, this cannot be used with greenwash. Now, greenwash is more of a corporate sort of branding exercise, like I said earlier, which obviously you have to be careful about. The use of words like sustainable, especially sustainable now. I see a lot of organizations are using the word sustainable without understanding the holistic nature of what is sustainability. So it is important for us to also create awareness on what is sustainability. One part of your value chain could be extremely sustainable, whereas you could be, sourcing water from another country to make your produce, or you could be actually using not the best kind of techniques to make your products, or you could not be paying the people who work for you the minimum wage plus, or provide equal opportunities within your organization. So it's a very, very holistic approach. On greenwashing, I think that's another separate topic that we may have to take on and could be a great space for to actually engage organizations, who are actually doing good work on it, and also engage organizations who have sort of an idea about it, but are using it in their advertisements, but are maybe are not being able to fully understand it. So we need to be able to create that space for people to also come in, because I realize inherently people do all want to create good businesses, create good products, or even for governments, they want to be able to serve the people who have elected them. But we need to be able to give that opportunity and that awareness to them on what are these processes, how can they go move forward, and not misuse it.
Yeah, coming to giving opportunities and awareness generation, a lot of times the conversations around sustainable development or SDGs remain within the academia or within a closed circle, if I may say so, within professional realm. So how important is it to bring the whole entire spectrum of sustainable development to a local context? What I mean is, what are the steps that we can take to localize SDGs?
Localizing SDGs is the crux of achieving SDGs. So you cannot achieve SDG by just having a policy document. If it is not being implemented, there is literally no use for it, right? So in that process, it is important to have. Now, see, in the initial way, like if you look at partnerships or if you look at how SDGs was drafted, I'm not sure if the audience would be aware of the MDGs, which came before the SDGs, but the MDGs was a very top-down approach. It was drafted by a technical committee, and after that, it was basically enforced on the South, Global South, and underdeveloped, least developed countries. Now, on the SDGs, there was a lot of engagement with over 70 countries initially participating and then opening up to all of the member states of UN with all organizations participating. Now, the initial process of developing the SDGs is done. Now, across the process of designing your visions, setting your targets, creating your monitoring systems, implementing projects, across the entire spectrum, it's important to have engagement at all levels by everyone. If we need to be able to localize the SDGs, we need to enable communities to be self-sustainable, to provide jobs, to enable access to basic services and social protection measures to everyone. Within this, I feel a very important stakeholder is the youth, because they create smaller pockets of change, especially in Northeast. I feel youth-led initiatives, say, again, I'm giving an example, say, on organic farming, etc. That is where you would see localized actions. Or if you have conversations in the Gaon Panchayat level where you're engaging with elected representatives at the Gaon Panchayat level or VDCs or VCDCs in Assam, you would see that those are the conversations and engagement we need to have. Now, in the past, whenever there have been work in Northeast specifically, say in the case of Assam, there has been a lot of engagement with other stakeholders, including beyond academia, with youth, with civil society organizations. But it is important to have continued engagement. So not just in the development process. My point being that we need to have that continued partnership across the implementation, the monitoring, and the overall works of SDGs.
Yes, definitely. I think it's very important that the engagement process itself is institutionalized in a way so that different stakeholders can go through the process of continued engagements. Also, in Northeast, like you already mentioned, we do have a lot of social institutions within different communities, within different tribes, within different strata of stakeholders. How important is it to build the capacity of such groups so that the whole term of inclusive development could be operationalized?
Yeah, it is extremely, extremely important. Like, I'll just take the case of Assam, for instance. Like, Assam is by itself a homogeneous society, but then there are so many areas of diversity within it, right? So even having one sort of SDG framework for a state like Assam may not work, because we have a lot of diversity that needs to be covered within it. I think in 2018, the government of Assam had come up with SDG localization toolkit, which was customized to up to the six schedule areas to be able to cater to individual specific needs. Now, this is the kind of effort that we need to make at every level. So, for instance, if we are training or building capacities, we have to start from bottom up, definitely. But we also need to customize and use tools which are applicable for those areas specifically. It cannot be a blanket approach, and it cannot be designed as per our understanding of SDGs, because the needs and the requirements that come up from the grassroots for every area will be very, very different. And hence, it is important that capacity building exercises start at the grassroots level upwards, and we use appropriate tools and techniques to do it.
Yeah, and it is interesting to actually know that Assam was the first state in India to adopt sustainable development goals. And yeah, so it had a head start, and now I think all the states are doing their bit to achieve these goals, and we have a long way to go. But can you also talk about the current policies on sustainability and SDGs, and what kind of frameworks are there nationally and also in the region?
Sure. So SDGs, the government of India has been giving a lot of push on the SDGs since 2015. Government of Assam was the first state to take on the SDGs, and they came up with a vision document very early on. But nationally, Niti Aayog is coordinating the activities of implementation of SDGs. They have the SDG India Index, which measures performance of states across, it's published every year. So it has brought about that sense of competitiveness between states to also garner and kind of fast track their activities and accelerate it as much as possible. That is one of the main frameworks. We also have MOSPI, who is the main lead agency for the data monitoring. They have a national indicator framework, which is taking all the monitoring work of the progress on SDGs. Now, state-wise, each state is kind of customizing the SDG process to their requirement. For instance, many states are aligning their budgets to the SDGs. So you can see how much is the budget estimate under each SDG and how our government departments. So it's a very sub-national, very localized activity, which kind of gives you, say, for instance, if you're trying to say find how much is spent on gender, you'll find a very integrated sort of number that how much is being spent on the or estimated towards spending on gender, and what are the lacunas, etc. So these sort of processes are being taken up by a lot of states. Along with it, states are also coming up with the SDG monitoring systems. I'm happy to say that actually the northeastern states are doing really well in coming up with their state indicator frameworks. All northeastern states have their state indicator frameworks. Now, Ministry of Donor, Niti Aayog, and UNDP are working together to create a first-of-its-kind monitoring dashboard, which will create a very robust monitoring system, which will look at all of the districts in Northeast India. So it will be, again, going one step forward beyond the state to the district level, and it will be monitoring SDGs at the district level, which will again create a very good sort of acceleration of SDGs and kind of help us understand where are each of the districts at, and then also then it will help blocks to kind of accelerate their work. Beyond this, there are many tools that are being used beyond, for instance, UNDP is doing a lot of work with government of Nagaland, and within there we have a SDGCC, which is a SDG coordination center. Here we are, say, I'll give you one example on how we are kind of generating awareness on SDGs by engaging citizens in the process. So last Christmas, we did a promotion of sustainable practices on eco-friendly, sustainable Christmas, like how can you have a sustainable Christmas? And a lot of people came up with ideas, they shared their pictures, etc. So it's about, you know, integrating SDG across, not just in policy or at the theoretical level, but practically and engaging people to come up with localized actions. We've also come up with partnership platforms where people can SDG and CSR online matchmaking portals, which are designed towards collaboration and enabling private sector engagement initiatives to the state's SDG priorities. We're working with panchayats in identifying their budgetary requirements and their focus areas of work, and also trying to integrate it within the GPDP process. So there are a lot of activities ongoing at different levels. So it's with youth, it's with citizens, it's with at the government level, at across all levels. But obviously, we still have a long way to go. The issues with currently we have is that we need to be able to have more platforms where diverse stakeholders can come together, can share their ideas, and we need to have stronger institutions which promote a whole of society approach versus a siloed approach.
Exactly. I think that's what you said about platforms where diverse stakeholders can come is very important, because the sustainable development goals are not just government goals or not just national goals. It's important for each one of us that we achieve these and that we reach these goals. So it's important that all of us do our bit. So what can people or citizens, how can we engage with the goals?
Yeah, I think the engagement of goals both needs to happen with government encouraging citizens to engage with them, and citizens also need to understand what are the SDGs and how can they participate in this process. So across the currently many states are, like, wherever UNDP's presence is there, we are working through the SDG CCs, which is the SDG coordination centers. So there we have a lot of engagement with citizens. But citizens themselves, like, obviously I cannot just say a blanket citizen, but like groups of people themselves have been part of a lot of, say, understanding. If you are going through the budget documents or you're going through the vision documents, you will be able to see what sort of alignment there is to the larger vision of a state, to the budget, and then kind of understand. So you can also participate in the advocacy process in creating small pockets of change. I don't want to say that we all need to be crusaders, but we need to be able to start very small and local. So engaging in sustainability discussions plus SDG-centric discussions on how important these goals are to each one of us, we can start at our local level. And it can then accelerate to, say, your schools that are near you, or it can go to, larger education systems or community clubs, etc., that are usually part of communities. So it's about making those small changes. And the participation, I think, post-COVID, but during this pandemic, I feel a lot of people have understood the need for sustainability, or at least a need for some change. And this is a very good time to kind of create that space for engagement. I know that a lot of state governments also open up for when the budgets are shared, or whenever there is any sort of ideas or even ideathons. For instance, we had one ideathon, I think 2017, where we invited youth with their ideas. We gave them the critical areas that we need, that are there, and they came up with solutions themselves and came up with prototypes of the solutions, which were then implemented on the grassroots. The same idea we're doing in other states, in Nagaland, where we are asking them to come up with issues that they feel are solving a critical issue, a critical sustainability a problem, and coming up with solutions to be able to cater to those. So it's a two-way process. And I think there are, for if there are young people here There are a lot of resources and material available, and also youth-led organizations that are working on SDGs. So do reach out to those organizations to be part of that discussion, because there are a lot of local actions happening right now. It doesn't have to be at the government level. It's happening all across. So be participate in those discussions, reach out. And I'm also here if you have any burning questions.
Definitely, Suprabha. I think as citizens, collaborations and small steps of change is something that we can aspire for. Since we discussed sustainability in our show, would you like to tell us if there is any sustainable choice that you consciously follow in your daily life?
I think I'm a learner. The learning for me has never stopped. I remember when I used to go for public like functions, pre-COVID days, I would wrap up food that has been left over or whatever is left over to feed stray dogs or things like that. But these are very small steps. For me personally, I think I am aspiring to go towards a zero waste lifestyle. It is hard to do during COVID times because we have to be very careful. But small things like composting in your own house. I live in an apartment. So composting, usually people think in an apartment is not possible. But it is possible. I have so much compost, I don't have enough pots for my compost. So composting is possible. I am a huge recycling, reusing person. Not just using reusing the products that I get or like wrappers and things like that, but also water. I try to at least use water in 3 different ways after it's been used. Keeping my showers very short, making sure I have a bucket if I am using the house filter, because I do unfortunately have a filter that leaves out a lot of water. So we don't switch it on unless we have a bucket under it. So we only do that once a day. And then we collect all of the water and save it for all of our home chores. I think diet choices are also very important. This is not a very popular topic in Northeast, but it does make a difference on our diet. I think even small things like, you know, probably off topic, but rescuing animals or promoting adoption can also bring about sustainability in the longer sense. I think each one of us, we don't understand the impact of our actions. Like we kind of are going about, you know, our day-to-day activities and feel like, oh, this one action may not really harm in any way, but each one of us is contributing in some way or the other. And just that consciousness to be able to understand how we are contributing and how can we move forward in a better way. Like, for instance, I have not bought I don't even know what it's called, like the floor cleaning detergent. It's not a detergent, it's like floor cleaning agent for at least 2 years now. I've been making my own bioenzymes, and it's so cool because there may be a few Assamese people here, but Assamese people love lemons, and we eat lemons every day. And so I store up my lemons. I have like 3-4 simultaneous batches of bioenzymes happening every day. It's so simple. You just have some water, put your lemon rind in there, put some jaggery and a pinch of yeast, and you're sorted. In a month, you have a beautiful smelling, aromatic floor cleaner. So the same can be used for your other cleaning essentials. So, you know, small steps like that. Progressing very slow, very difficult, but hopefully it's something that I aspire to do. And one initiative that I want to actually promote amongst everyone, and maybe whoever is listening can talk to their friends, is cupverting. So not using sanitary napkins, and if possible to switch to cups. This is something that a resolution I took on to convert 20 of my friends. I have not reached the number yet, but I have been randomly gifting my friends cups. So if you want a cup, you can contact me and I will gift you a cup. So I think this is these are a few of my tips. And last one would be walking. I love to walk. I know India is not probably the best place to walk around, but we need to change that conversation and just start using our legs to go places, not driving everywhere or cycling. And that would be a very good lifestyle choice that we make.
A very interesting tidbits, Suprabha. Thanks for sharing these with us and our listeners.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's one small step at a time. It sounds like a lot when you talk about all of them together, but it's about doing one thing at a time, and then you realize suddenly it's not
and
even hard.
There's so many cool documentaries that are out there. Podcasts like yours are also making such a change. Like, do watch these documentaries, read about these stories, and listen to your podcast, I guess. And I think those are the small waves of changes that, you know, one mind change is enough to influence 100 others. So it'll really, that's how it happens.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. I mean, within today's episode, we discussed how development needs to be inclusive and integrated through participation of different stakeholders that are part of the system, that can be the youth, the citizens, everyone. Sustainable development is imperative for the region to ensure that no one gets left behind in our quest for development, and the SDGs are one way to do so, as we discussed today.
Thank you for listening to us today. Tune in next time for another discussion on logically local efforts and solutions.